This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Craig Breckus with UPL. We'll hear from Craig in just a moment. First off, Matt McLaughlin is an economist with USDA, says consumer price index for February shows modest increases.
It's a bit of an across-the-board story where a lot of the products are growing somewhere between 0.1 and a little under 1 percentage point this last month. So if we look across most meats, poultry, and fish, we see increases that are anywhere between 0.1 for poultry and 0.7 for fish and seafood, with your major categories like beef and veal increasing by 0.3, pork increasing by 0.6%. So this is still price growth, but it's much more moderate than we've seen in the past.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. From the 2023 Commodity Classic in Orlando, Craig Breckus is here. Craig is Region Head North America for UPL. Craig, great to see you.
Yeah, great to see you too. Thank you.
So I did not fly through Denver on my way to Orlando, but last time I was through Denver, it was a bit cooler than it is in Florida today.
Yeah. I mean, we've actually had quite a cool winter. And in my 10 years of living in Denver, we've had the most snowfall that we've had in years. So it's actually quite nice, you know, to see that type of snowpack. And we're going to come out of the spring with good moisture in Denver. So it's good from a farm boy perspective.
Well, I'm glad you said that. Little background about you. Tell us where you grew up, how you ended up with UPL.
I grew up on a grain farm up in Western Canada, actually, up on actually the Alaska Highway, if you can believe it. So very far north when summer days were 21 hours long and we were growing crops on a short season. So grew up on a canola and wheat farm there. Started my career in Canada about 10 years ago. Came down to the U.S. in a company called Arista, which UPL purchased here about 3 years ago. And been working in UPL ever since, and about 2.5 years ago was given the opportunity to run the North American business for UPL.
Let's talk about UPL, because some will maybe recognize the name, but the fact is you're growing. How in the world is UPL growing as fast as they are?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, today, it's funny, like we're still a relatively new company in the United States, so from an awareness standpoint, right? Like if people know UPL, they would see us kind of, oh, they're a generic provider, right? And I think that this growth over the last couple of years is tied to our purpose, Open Ag, which is about sustainability reimagined. And so, you know, when UPL purchased Arista, it was given an opportunity to really transition our strategy. And so we know we're going to be a strong post-patent provider out of India. We own our own capacity. We're a very strong competitive provider in post-patent technology to growers. But now we're taking that strength, and you know, we just launched natural plant protection, a business in the biological space. We're starting to launch brand new differentiated products. We're taking that and taking a look at how can we differentiate, how can we add value around it. And I think that's what growers are starting to see, is that, hey, here's UPL that's a solutions provider in the space and not just a generic player. And I think over the next couple of years, as growers get to know UPL, they'll see that.
So I guess the question is, you talk about the you know, launching into new areas. How do you know what farmers want? In other words, do you throw it out there and see if it sticks, or do you have to stop and ask?
Yeah, well, you definitely got to ask. I think that's what's unique about UPL. If you look at kind of traditional chemical companies or traditional large companies, discovery research companies, right? So they're really looking at a bunch of AIs, finding it, and see if it can be useful against a problem, right? But it's really starting from technology, their technology that they have in-house. UPL turned it on its back. So we went out and we took a look, and we've identified the crops that we want to focus on. And so corn, soybean, wheat are three crops that we're focused on. we have spent a lot of time over the last couple of years talking to growers about what are their challenges in each of those crops. So, for example, water hemp resistance is a problem for soybean growers. Kochia resistance is a problem for wheat growers. And so we said, okay, now that we understand those problems, we took a look at our open ag purpose, which is really around open collaboration, open innovation. And we didn't go in and do discovery research. We've built partnerships from around the globe with technology providers and brought those technologies, vetted them, understood them quickly. And we have an asset, a business today in Raleigh called our Open Ag Center, where we look at those technologies and making sure there's solutions to these problems and then efficiently bringing them to market. That process sometimes takes 3 years, 4 years, versus something that would take 10 years if you started from a traditional approach. And so, you know, that when you ask the question, do we start with asking? We start with asking, and then we look at real-world solutions that we can bring efficiently and effectively to the market to help them quickly.
Really, and maybe I'm wrong here, it sounds like you just described the R&D efforts that you put in, but I'm sure there's more to it.
Yeah, but that is the basic approach, is really having a crop approach, understanding what growers needs, building a network that you can have technologies. And it's interesting, this center we have, the Open Ag Center in Raleigh, North Carolina, it's getting very well known in the globe now. And so we have a lot of technology companies starting to come to us. You know, they know we have it. They know they don't necessarily have a way to the market, but they have a very unique technology. And so it's our R&D efforts. It's really connecting those two things. And, you know, 2-3 years ago, UPL in North America did not have an R&D team in North America. Today, we have over 30 professionals of PhDs and masters working within the North American business, focused on how we add value in our core crops for growers.
Okay. Not sure if that's a crystal ball over there or just a glass of water, but we'll pretend it's a crystal ball, okay? When you look into it and you look down the road, what really has Craig excited about the future?
Well, I think first and foremost, I will tell you, Tony, I'm a farm boy. Okay, I grew up on a farm. You asked that question at the beginning. I am really excited, and my family still farms, so I'm very excited about agriculture in North America. I think we have an extremely bright future. You know, we're well positioned for a few food security, food production standpoint for the world. So that excites me, considering I still am well connected to the farm. But within UPL and our ability to serve growers in that area, you know, the investment that we make and the strategy we have, it's agile, it's exciting, it's unique. You know, it's, and when I look at the next couple of years, you know, we started the strategy a couple of years ago. The next couple of years are going to be exciting. We're going to get the fruits of our labor, you know, and how we look at some of the things that we're going to be building and developing and bringing to market.
So good to see you. If we want to reach out and tell you something, maybe through the internet, can we do it that way?
For sure. You can definitely go on our website and connect with us. You know, we have partnerships everywhere across all of the United States. So if you go into your retailer and ask them for their local UPL representative, they'll have that. So, you know, I would take those two easy approaches to connect with us.
So good to see you. We wish you the best, and excited to see how that crystal ball just continues to show what's coming down the road. All the best.
All the best to you, too. Thanks, Tony.
Greg Breckus is regional head for North America for UPL from the 2023 Commodity Classic in Orlando. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
I'm Tucker Brown, a sixth-generation rancher, and I plan on seeing you at the 2023 Hemp Hill County Beef Cattle Conference, April 25th and 26th in Canadian, Texas, sponsored by Capital Farm Credit. As a young rancher, there are many challenges, and this event gives me powerful information, resources, and network opportunities to keep the ranch in the family and the family in the ranch. Register today online at Hemp Hill County Beef Conference website or call 806-323-9114.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Ben West. Ben, executive director of an organization, right?
Yeah, that's right. Farmers for Soil Health, a collaboration between the United Soybean Board, the National Corn Growers Association, and National Pork Board to advance soil conservation practices, particularly conservation tillage, cover crops, and other things that will be good for farms and good for farmers.
Hey, a little background about you. How'd you end up here? Did you just say, hey, there's a great position here. I think I want to apply. How'd you get here?
Yeah, so I've spent 25 years in higher education. I was a professor for a while, worked with Extension in conservation and agriculture, then got into administration in land-grant universities, decided I want to spend the last 15 or 20 years of my career doing something really big that would have real impact on the ground, would put real conservation on the ground on farms across the United States. And I don't know if there's a bigger game in town than Farmers for Soil Health for that right now. We're going to do some really exciting things in the coming years.
Some would say we've had different revolutions or evolutions or awakenings, if you will, in ag. Is this the big one now for us?
It certainly is a big one. If you look back at the development, for example, of no-till a few decades ago, that was a big advance in conservation and agriculture, and we're on the cusp of one now. Having deeper understanding of the biological qualities of soils and how that relates to soil health and to farmer bottom lines is a really big one. And what's really exciting is farmers are going to be able to develop these practices in ways that support their operation and make their operations more resilient and more profitable, but also provide tremendous public value by reducing erosion, improving water quality, sequestering carbon, and a whole portfolio of environmental benefits.
One question will be, from some, is this just another project that will cost me money? Can we see that there's benefits on the other side, financial?
Yeah, absolutely. If you, as we do, if you talk to farmers who have been using cover crops for a while, kind of the universal story that a lot of farmers tell us is it takes a few years to learn it, to really figure out how it works within their system, and then the benefits start, you know, they start piling up. Here at Commodity Classic, I've run into many farmers who have told me, if not for cover crops, I don't know if I would be able to be successful in my operation. They've just become an integral, essential part of what we do.
So good to see you here. Thanks for the work you're doing. We wish you the best.
Thank you.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable. Grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Craig Breckus with UPL and Ben West with Farmers for Soil Health. Now, Matt McLaughlin is an economist for USDA. He says the Consumer Price Index, or CPI, for February shows smaller monthly food price hikes than in recent months.
This does look more like what we would have expected in the pre-COVID pandemic era, an increase for food at home of 0.3%. For food away from home, it was still a bit high at 0.6% increase between January and February of 2023. And then for all food, which is a combination of food at home and food away from home, we had a 0.4% increase between January and February.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
If the prognosticators at USDA turn out to be right about their forecast for U.S. pork production this year,
pork production would be up about 420 million pounds compared to last year.
USDA Outlook Board Chairman Mark Jackanowski, his analysts are projecting pork production this year to hit 27.4 billion pounds. That would be up from last year by only 1.5%. Now, you would not think that that would have a major impact on hog prices. However,
prices have been softer than expected, weaker than expected.
Wait a minute. That sounds like you're describing me. Right, no, it could be. It's hog prices he's talking about, yes. And once again,
we reduced our hog price forecast 75 cents per hundredweight. So it's now at $65.75 per hundredweight. And year over year, that's down $5.46 per hundredweight.
Averaging below last year by 7.5%. Gary Crawford, Washington.